Thank you, Jesus. What a time to be alive. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Every day, something new is happening. Every day, the enemy's being taken down in some area. Every day, they're being exposed. Every day, somebody's being arrested. Every day, somebody's being executed. People don't realize what's going on behind closed doors. You know, you're wondering how many duplicates that are out there and how many are gone already. How many people are gone already. It's amazing. Praise God. But there's something that's going on globally. What you and I are witnessing in a global status is a cry for freedom. The whole world is crying for freedom. Everybody is crying for freedom. There's rioting, there's protesters, there's all kinds of stuff. Many of them are corrupt and they're crying for their own agenda, but there's still a cry for freedom. People want to be free. Free from what? Corruption. Free from deception. Free from lies. They want to be free from debt. They want to be free from control of enforcement of will. They want to be free. Not to do things that are bad, but to do things that are good. They want to be free. Amen? We want to be free from sickness and disease. And not plagued from all kinds of diseases that have been put on us by governments, by the wealthy, by the deep state. We want to be free from all of the deep state. We want to be free from bondages of debt. We want to be free. The world is crying out to be free. You know, we have more freedom than most countries do. But yet, this may sound strange, we're in more bondage than most countries are. Because we're the most abusive of substance than most countries. Now, I don't know if you saw or not, but Donald Trump just signed the largest trade agreement ever with the European Union. Think about it. There's like $500 or $600 or $800 billion contracts with them. And more. It is the largest contract ever, trade agreement. Trade agreement. Ever. It's going to turn everything around here. All of these trade agreements are going to bring so much wealth to this country. It's incredible. People are going to want to beg to come in here. Legally. We are in a time where the cry for freedom is great. It's reached the throne room of God. That's why he's doing divine intervention now. It's happening. Melting walls of denominations, bringing unification in the body. Breaking open prisons where people have been abducted and falsely imprisoned. Releasing them. Dismantling all these war machines and military operations and militia operations from the deep state. Taking their territories, disarming them, and bringing peace. There is a cry for freedom and freedom. There is a cry for peace because people don't know what peace is. Many people have been living in such torment for their whole lives. Can you imagine being born in a war zone and always running for your life, never knowing? For years, 20, 30 years, some of these countries have been in and out of war forever, man. But there is a cry for freedom. And that cry has reached the throne room of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the what? The Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. So people are crying out for liberty. They're actually crying out for Jesus, and they don't even realize it. They're crying out for freedom, but they're actually looking for the Creator to come and free them. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transferred into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Only where the Spirit of Jesus is, Jesus the Christ, there is opportunity to be free by cooperation. In other words, God always comes and sends an invitation. When the invitation is accepted, freedom is established, as long as there's cooperation. There is a global cry for freedom, or what we call the presence of the true God. That's what they're crying for. There's an outer freedom and there's an inner freedom that people are looking for. But the groaning within is for a freedom within. Exodus 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now listen, these are all Nephilim races. But people don't realize that, you know, when we begin to talk about these things, we're always thinking of Israel. But I want you to know this is also talking about United States, because this is a country of Nephilims. All tribes of Nephilims are here also. Not only are they global, but they are here also. And that's what you're seeing being exposed and removed. Does everybody understand that? Now, therefore, verse 9, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Wow. Now, modern-day Pharisees. That's what we're dealing with today. Amen? They're modern-day Pharisees. There's a cry of the children to be released from the bondage. And again, what are we battling? We're battling powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, spirits under the authority of Satan and strong men, territorial spirits, principalities, all of these that we're battling, demons, devils, Luciferians, offsprings of Satan, offsprings of Nephilim and Rephilim. We're battling all these regimes of corruption and destruction we call deep state, but they're anti-Christ, anti-Trump, and they're Luciferians. All of them. They are servants of Satan in one way or another. Hallelujah. Psalm 28. We'll start at verse 1. To you I will cry, O Lord my rock. Do not be silent to me. Lest you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity. Yeah. And with the workers of iniquity who speak what? Peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. Oh, hallelujah. Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the oppression or operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Isn't that what we're going through right now? We're watching this begin to happen, the dismantlement of the deep state Nephilim race. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is their saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. Why? What is God doing? He's dismantling, because they don't regard his works. They don't regard his blessings. They don't regard his body. They don't regard him at all. They're their self-gods. They have no God, or whatever God they have is nothing but a demon or Nephilim. False gods, false doctrines. Matthew 3, starting at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. I told you this is where the cereal came from, nuts and honey. Amen. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to meet him, and were baptized by him into what? Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees, or Sadducees, modern-day Pharisees and Sadducees, coming to him, to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. I do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from those stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Wow. Crying in the wilderness. It's a global exposure to remove the oppressors. To remove what? The oppressors. We are watching it happen. Sometimes we may think that it's not happening fast enough. I think that way sometimes. It's like, man, what took you so long? But anyways, God's got a plan and he's got his time. And I have to submit to that regardless of my opinion. Hallelujah. James chapter 5. You know, so many times we're short-sighted on things because we lose sight that it's a global event. This is global. James chapter 5, 1 through 8. "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be what? Patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and late of rain. You also be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Hallelujah. The coming of the Lord is at hand. So we've got to be patient or endure. We're actually watching his movements happen globally right now. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people do what? Turn away. For these are the sort of those who creep into households, ministries, businesses, and make captives of gullible men and women and children, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as there also was. And we're seeing this happen right now. We are in perilous times. Well, perilous times causes people to cry out. They are crying out. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. It says, but these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in there. While they promise them freedom or liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, by whom a person is overcome, by him he is also brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is what? Worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of the righteousness than have knowing it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it happened to them according to a true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed it to a wallowing in mire. Hallelujah. Words of emptiness and slaves of corruption. Again, modern day Pharisees that are entangling and binding up and putting people in bondage because of the great deception. Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is still deception, and his power is fear. So everything that they do is deception or fear. That's how they control. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, please. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down and not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, and life, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not what? Lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Oh, happy days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, again, people may know the truth, but not understand the truth. So if you don't have understanding in the Word of God, you can't be free. And if you don't have understanding, you can't put it to practice, can you? Then for many people, it's just a book of letters, because they don't realize that these things are from God. And when you are filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God takes these words and interprets them for you for understanding. Amen? And when there's understanding, then there's freedom. Freedom begins to manifest. But without understanding, there cannot be freedom. Why? Because when you get understanding, you're cooperating. So you want to cooperate because you have understanding. Oh, I got it. Thank you. Okay, yes. I got understanding now. Remember, wisdom tells you what, how to do it, and when, what to do, and understanding what does tells you how to do it. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. All right, let's go to Romans 8. Cry for freedom. Romans. We are all Romans at one time. We were roaming the earth, looking for truth, not knowing, crying for freedom. There's a lot of Romans out there crying for freedom. They're looking for Jesus. They don't know it, though. That's why Jesus has got to be brought to them. Where a person can't bring Jesus to a person, Jesus brings Jesus to the person. Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God who are free. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our
body.
For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance or endurance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood, because you're praying in tongues. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God while he's praying in tongues. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What an awesome thing. Sufferings of the present time, cries from the present time. Everything's going to work to the good. And I'm going to close at Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, and in that very day his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He releases the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, he what? He turns upside down. We're watching them all turn upside down. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. So just remember the time and season we're in. God is moving. And the cry of freedom is global. Global. That's why it's important that we reach as many people as possible, wherever we are. Even our Water for Life outreach is an opportunity to reach someone. You know, once Fields of Grace gets established, we'll be able to house people and rescue people. And that's coming. In fact, we got our first donation to Fields of Grace today. So praise be to God. Hallelujah. And once it is established, it'll be an awesome thing. And our hope is to put one in every state so that people can find a place of refuge, a place of truth, and a place of freedom. Amen. People want freedom, but it's hard to find a place of freedom. Praise God. Freedom from religion. None of those stupid laws and regulations. Freedom to worship. Amen. We want freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. We thank you for answering the cry of freedom. We thank you. Thank you for answering our cry for freedom, never knowing what freedom truly was. We thought it was a free will, but it wasn't a free will. We have a free will offering to you, but it was surrendering our will to you so we could have freedom in cooperation with your will in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.